welcome to NC Spin, an unrehearsed discussion about issues of interest to North Carolina. Now here's the host of NC Spin, Tom Campbell.
Welcome. You've heard and read the spin the media and the politicians have put on the issues of the day. To get the correct spin on what's going on in North Carolina, let's introduce you to our panel of experts. They include political analyst Chris Fitzsimon, Becky Gray from the John Locke Foundation, political consultant Brad Krohn, and syndicated columnist and author John Hood. Well, welcome to this 1,000th edition of NC Spin. We've got a lot to celebrate and some special features for you. As is usually our case, the last show of the year is our prediction show. So we're going to ask our panel to predict what our state might experience in the year 2018. Let's get started. Brad, this is going to be an election year as we elect legislators and congressional representatives. A lot of pundits are saying that the recent elections indicate there might be a strong swing toward Democrats. Republicans have veto-proof majorities in both our House and Senate. Can Democrats change this? And if so, what have they got to do it?
Well, Tom, Democrats feel like that there's a tsunami coming, and what you saw in the Commonwealth of Virginia in the 2017 elections will be experienced here in North Carolina in 2018. That's a real big question mark, simply because your unaffiliated voters are really ambivalent right now. And if there's going to be a tsunami at the political level, it's going to start with base Democrats because they have a higher intensity. Clearly, history shows from 2006 and 2010 that unpopular presidents cost their sitting party seats. Democrats will pick up seats in both houses. Big question mark if they'll be able to take the majority back in either chamber.
John, you've talked about that some on the show during this past year. You predict it's going to be big enough to turn the tide?
It could be. There's certainly some things heading in the Democrats' direction, as Brad gets at, but there are also some other things Republicans are counting on to help at least staunch the flow. One of them is they expect to have a significant fundraising advantage. They expect to have a candidate advantage. They feel like some of the districts Democrats might be competitive in, they will nominate Democratic nominees that are too left-wing. So even in a swing year, even in a tsunami year or a wave year for Democrats, they might leave some seats on the table. Furthermore, we don't really know what's going to happen in Washington. This is largely driven by the Washington narrative, not the North Carolina narrative. We expect, and usually the president in the White House, his or her party is going to get hurt in the next election. Also, you've got an unpopular president, generally speaking, and that's usually bad for the incumbent party. But the Republicans are not yet convinced they're going to have massive losses.
Interesting. Becky, you think the Republicans will be running toward Donald Trump or away from him?
I think they will be running toward some of the conservative policies that we're now seeing coming out of Washington. I think this recent tax cut package that is progressing in Washington, I think the president just has to sign it now, is something that's very similar to what we've done in North Carolina. But more than anything, I think what you're going to see Republicans in North Carolina running on is their own record and the things that they've done. Tax cuts, regulatory reform, investments in education, investments in infrastructure. You know, they've done significant things. North Carolina is a model around the country for how these reforms can be done. And I think what you're going to see is Republicans in North Carolina proud of that record and running on that record.
Chris, is Roy Cooper giving Democrats any shelter, giving them any hope?
Well, I think he's trying. He's certainly battling back against the Republicans trying to take more of his power away. He remains relatively popular, especially in contrast to Donald Trump. And I actually disagree a little bit about the tax cut that just passed Congress is actually relatively unpopular around the country. And I think when you ask people in North Carolina how are your personal taxes, ask a lower middle class person in North Carolina whether they got a tax cut or not. I don't think they feel like they're doing much better than they were two or three or even four or five years ago, unless they didn't have a job. If they're still, they probably haven't had a big raise. And we were sitting here in the same desk, as Brad mentioned, in 2006, President Obama was punished, 2010, sorry, was punished at the polls for what people perceived was his unpopularity. I think the same thing is likely to happen. No matter how hard Republicans try to make this a local election, President Trump will drive the 2018 election in North Carolina for better or for worse.
It's all about the Trump. Brad, you think we're going to see the continuation of all these lawsuits we saw in 2017?
Well, I hope not. I hope we can get the litigation out of us and get back into having some type of dialogue and conversation about the issues that we're facing as a state. We need clarity when it comes to redistricting. I'd love to see the United States Supreme Court provide some type of overall guidance for southern states to deal with redistricting once and for all. I just don't know if we'll ever see it. John has been talking about this for, I can't tell you how many shows I've done, but a bunch of shows that I've been on with John, we've talked about the need for clarity from the Supreme Court. Going to what Chris said, though, 2010, Barack Obama, 43% approval rating in the state of North Carolina. Democrats lost 16 seats in the House, 11 seats in the state Senate. And Trump's approval rating in the state right now is hovering around the same rate.
Interesting. So we're going to have, in addition to elections, we're going to have a short session of the legislature, John. Anything particular you know will be coming up in that short session?
Well, every year there's a budget, either a two-year budget enacted or that year, or in the even-numbered years, that budget is adjusted. We're in an even-numbered year. Governor Cooper will propose a budget with significant proposed spending. He may even propose some revenue. I don't think he'll propose some big tax increase in an election year, but he will try to make the argument that North Carolina's government is underfunded. One of the things to watch is our revenue picture. Right now, as we talk today, our revenue is slightly, maybe a point or point and a half percent below projections. Still growing, but it's not growing quite as rapidly. It's too early in the fiscal year to get too carried away with that, because our revenue disproportionately comes in at Christmas time, disproportionately comes in on the income tax side in the spring. But if we get to next spring and revenue's not as healthy as it has been in recent years, expect that to be a big fight. Of course, the budget's always a fight, but it's a little bit easier when you have a surplus to spend rather than something that might be tighter than that. We'll see.
Tom, I expect in the short session that we're going to see some focus on health care, on access to health care, particularly in the rural parts of North Carolina. I think that there is a real concern with legislators across the state, some concern with getting these done, addressing these health care issues in the rural parts of North Carolina before the 2018 election or before the redistricting happens again, where rural areas are going to have less representation as the demographics of North Carolina change.
One of the big issues coming up in 2018 is going to be the reform, it depends on what word or verb you want to use, the Republicans are trying to do to the court system. There's a special session coming up in just a couple weeks, January 10th. There's all sorts of rumors about what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. The House has passed a redistricting bill for judges. The Senate wants a merit selection judges where they have a lot of power in selecting judges, which would require a constitutional amendment. I would think it's probably likely there might be another special session between January and the short session, the way this legislature operates.
And I don't understand the reasoning of the Republicans pushing judicial reform right now, simply because at some point in time, Democrats will take over the legislature, and if you allow the legislature to pick your judges, well, guess what? You're going to have Democrat judges. So why not let the people keep their vote? Tom, in 1982, the legislature wanted to raise the constitutional term from 2 years to 4 years. It got beat 66-34. I tell you, North Carolina voters don't like having their vote taken away from them.
But I think it's important to note that they won't get their vote taken away from them. At least they have a say-so on it. Any changes in how judges are elected would have to go to a constitutional amendment, which then goes to the people for a vote. So we will have a chance to decide that.
Let's look at the economy very quickly. What do we expect from the economy in 2018?
I think that right now it looks like 2018 for North Carolina will be stronger than 2017, which was actually weaker than 2016. People argued that 2016 was weakened by the HB2 controversy, and perhaps it did in some cases, but actually, ironically, 2017 was a little bit weaker in North Carolina than the previous year in terms of the standard measures of economic growth. But I do think the federal tax reform, I do think regulatory reform will help to stimulate more growth in 2018.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we got some special features we want you to see.
NC-SPAN will return after these messages. Agriculture is the backbone of our state's economy. It's the heartbeat of our rural communities. Its strength means bustling sidewalks and open signs in store windows. And with smart investments in our future, like the Plant Sciences Initiative and modern updated research stations, agriculture will remain the cornerstone of our economy. Because when agriculture is strong, our economy is strong.
more than 45 years, the North Carolina Retired Governmental Employees Association has advocated for local and state government retirees. Whether protecting retiree benefits or fighting for cost of living adjustments, more than 70,000 members count on us to be their voice. Government retirees work for us, and we stand for them. Learn more at ncrgea.com.
You sleep on concrete till your body get immune to concrete.
My mom got my brother and I up and said, come on, we're leaving.
I became homeless in the beginning of this year.
When I was about 4 or 5 years old, our house caught fire.
I used to see my brother. If he see me, he'd turn and go the other direction.
We did the only thing that we could think of, and we went to a Salvation Army shelter.
You know, we don't have this, like, what's your background look like? We just say, what do you need?
I remember the man from the Salvation Army coming down with a box of clothes.
The Salvation Army officer bought my brother and I an ice cream cone.
Last week, my brother walked up to me, and he just started a conversation.
Today, I've given my life to the Salvation Army because I remember what somebody did for me, my brother, and my mom over 30 years ago.
The Salvation Army, for me, means hope.
Compassion.
Family.
Support.
Government plays a key role in your life, affecting your paycheck, the way you educate your kids, the way you do business. How can you tell if government is doing a good job, making the right choices, spending tax dollars wisely? CarolinaJournal.com tackles those questions every day. The John Locke Foundation publishes Carolina Journal in print each month and on the web each day at CarolinaJournal.com. You'll find exclusive investigative reports on topics no one else is covering. What else? A rundown of the best news stories, editorials, and opinion columns in North Carolina. John Hood's Daily Journal. News stories and important public events at CarolinaJournal.tv. And the voices of the newsmakers themselves at Carolina Journal Radio. In print, on the air, and on the web, you can find the information you need at CarolinaJournal.com.
We now return to NC SPIN.
Distinctive things about NC SPIN for me, and I think for lots of other panelists, is that we've developed a relationship with our viewers. Whenever you're on the air every week for almost 20 years, you're going to kind of get into people's homes and a little bit into their heads. Sometimes people will just walk up to me at the grocery store or at a movie theater or standing in line somewhere, and they don't say, well, sometimes they say, watch you every week on NC SPIN, I appreciate you every Sunday morning, something like that. But a lot of times they will just say, John, you're wrong, and let me tell you why. Because they're so used to having us in their homes that they just sort of feel like they know us. And I think that's a wonderful relationship to have with lots and lots of North Carolinians.
When I'm walking around, people will stop me and they'll say, where have we met? And I'll be like, you know, do you know my mom? Do you live in Raleigh? Have you ever been to Burlington? And then they'll go, no, I know, you're on television. And I was like, oh yes, I'm very fancy. And then they'll lean in and I think they're gonna ask me what, you know, how did I get to be on television? And they ask the same question. What are Tom Campbell, John Hood, and Rufus Edmonston really like? And it always makes me laugh because I think each of those people has their own following. I mean, obviously Tom is adored for the balance he brings and the excitement he brings to covering issues of the day in North Carolina in a very deep and thoughtful fashion. And then, of course, Rufus is just a larger-than-life character, and people can't believe that Rufus is actually like Rufus, but he is. So, just so everybody knows, Rufus is really like that, and he's a wonderful, long-term, long-serving public servant. And then John Hood, who, you know, people know my politics, very different from John's, and when I first met him, I was absolutely convinced I would not like him, and I think a lot of people, because of the political opinions he espouses so thoughtfully and strongly, that they won't like him. But I have to say, John Hood has become one of my favorite people to be around and to learn from.
The particular discussion I remember on NC SPIN was one of my first shows, and it's when Chris Fitzsimons and John Hood got in the most ferocious fight over some issue I've ever could imagine. I mean, these guys were yelling at each other across the table, and I'm sitting there and I looked at Tom, and he just has this slight grin on his face and watching them go at it. And so I was just horrified. I thought, this is not going to come across very well to the viewing audience. And yet there they were. And then I was amazed that after we went off set and everybody was going home, they walked out together and slapped each other on the back and said, this was a great show tonight, wasn't it?
NC Spin is so important to people. People see, you know, every Sunday, and now that we're moving, you know, during the weekend, people make sure they check in and watch because they know they will get unfettered news. They will get strong, intelligent opinion, albeit sometimes contrary, but nonetheless, they'll get it. And the show makes them think. And it should also make them proud to be North Carolinians. So what do people say to me? They enjoy NC Spin. They love it. They're dedicated to it. And they want more of it. That's what they say to me.
I'm often talked to by people about Spin. And, you know, invariably they will ask, Rufus, we go to NC Spin because we can find a place there where you folks don't yell at one another. It's the only show we know where you don't yell at one another and you're civil. And that always makes me feel very good. And I've been on since the beginning. And I frankly enjoy hearing people talk about it. It's a show that I dearly love.
One of the greatest joys of NC Spin has been the many friends that I've made over the years. Even people that I disagree with on many of the important issues, there's just a tremendous respect among the NC Spin family. It's really an important part, I think, of what we do because it also then relays that to people across North Carolina that you can disagree on things, but you can also be friends with people. I think we need more of that.
NC Spin, I believe, will be remembered mostly for the variety of panelists who appear on the show. Different philosophies, different positions on different issues, but all done in the spirit of cordiality, that people can have different views and never allow themselves to become in any way negative toward each other. I think that is one of the great strengths of NC Spin, and one that I think offers a very strong model for people to focus on.
What we do on NC Spin is we describe both sides of an issue, and then those of us in the middle kind of fill in, but we leave it to the viewers to decide where they're going to come down. And I think that's the value of NC Spin to North Carolina, and I hope we have a much larger audience over time.
Well, invariably, when I am out in public and people will see and recognize me from NC Spin, one of the things they always say is they either say, I agree with you and John Hood is wrong, or I agree with John Hood all the time and you're wrong, but they always follow that with, I appreciate how you guys talk to each other and I appreciate the tenor of the debate, and it's nice to be able to turn on a television show, hear about the politics and the policies happening in North Carolina without people calling each other names or screaming. And I think people across North Carolina, I think, have come to appreciate the civil discussion. It's one of the few places you can turn on, hear people be respectful, but also get a lot of information about what's happening in North Carolina. I think that is actually the most important legacy of NC Spin, is that we have been balanced since it went on the air in the late 90s. We have had people on the show criticize Democrats, criticize Republicans. There's always a variety of point of views on NC Spin. I think if you tune in, invariably you're going to find somebody you agree with and find somebody you disagree with. And I think you'll be surprised at how often there'll be unusual, I won't say alliances, but unusual alignment between panelists on specific issues, because everybody on that show, nobody on that show, put it a different way, nobody on that show is a partisan politician. They're all people who work in the world of politics and policy, but have very strong, informed views and don't align with any individuals. And I think that's what makes the show so much better than just a traditional Democratic or Republican show.
I think the legacy of NC Spin is easy to state, perhaps, but it's probably hard to fully appreciate the significance of it. And the legacy is that we have demonstrated You can have strong opinions. You can choose difficult, challenging, controversial topics. You can have spirited discussion, but you don't have to act like a bunch of jackasses. In this current environment, those combinations don't seem possible, and yet we've shown over two decades they're quite possible. This is not a sedate show where everybody just sort of pulls on their chins and turns and agrees with each other. That's not the kind of show this is. This is a show full of disagreement, representing all the different points of view in North Carolina, and yet it represents North Carolina in another sense, the ability of North Carolinians, even as they disagree, even as they have some fundamentally different ideas about what to do, still have a shared sense of what it means to be a North Carolinian and a shared hope for a better North Carolina in the future.
Back with some closing thoughts after these messages.
NC-SPAN will return after these messages. NC-SPAN is brought to you in part by the North Carolina Farm Bureau. The Farm Bureau and Agriculture, we keep North Carolina growing.
With today's tools, all the information you need is just a click away.
I'm going to show you how to remove the...
And as a member of an electric cooperative, you have access to lots of valuable tools. Tools that help you do it yourself when it comes to controlling your home energy use and budget, leaving you free to be dad. Discover how your electric cooperative can help you control your energy use at empowermenc.com.
The healthcare landscape is filled with questions and uncertainties of changes that are coming. In these times of change, there's one thing you can trust. You can trust your family physician to work for you, not only in treating sickness and disease, but also your overall health. Regardless of how healthcare might change, the men and women of the North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians pledge to work upholding your trust. Family physicians, your trusted healthcare advisors.
You sleep on concrete till your body get immune to concrete.
My mom got my brother and I up and said, come on, we're leaving.
I became homeless in the beginning of this year.
When I was about 4 or 5 years old, our house caught fire.
I used to see my brother. If he see me, he'd turn and go the other direction.
We did the only thing that we could think of, and we went to a Salvation Army shelter.
You know, we don't have this, like, what's your background look like? We just say, what do you need?
I remember the man from the Salvation Army coming down with a box of clothes.
The Salvation Army officer bought my brother and I an ice cream cone.
Last week, my brother walked up to me, and he just started a conversation.
Today, I've given my life to the Salvation Army because I remember what somebody did for me, my brother, and my mom over 30 years ago.
The Salvation Army, for me, means hope.
Compassion.
Family.
Support.
We now return to NC-SPAN.
As you heard, this is the 1,000th episode of NC-SPAN, a time of great celebration, also a time of some sadness. NC-SPAN is the longest continually running weekly TV and radio talk show in the history of North Carolina, maybe one of the longest in the nation. I well remember when John Hood, Chris Fitzsimon, and I met for lunch in the summer of 1998 and outlined on a cocktail napkin the format and mission statement for NC-SPAN. Our mission has been to produce an unrehearsed program that gave you a civil, honest, and in-depth analysis of the issues affecting North Carolina. We boast that NC-SPAN is balanced debate for the old North State and have never tried to insult your intelligence by telling you what to think about important issues. Instead, we've wanted to give you different perspectives from a panel of seasoned analysts and trust you to decide the right and wrong of the issues. One of the guiding principles has been to conduct ourselves as ladies and gentlemen and not call each other names, get into shouting matches, or talk all over each other like you frequently see. People often tell me they've watched the show for a while and can't tell whether I'm a Democrat or a Republican or a conservative or a liberal. Well, I tell them that must mean I'm doing what I perceive to be my job. I've always viewed my role as producer and moderator not to be the dominating force in these discussions like you frequently see on TV talk shows, but to be more like a traffic cop, keeping the debate moving, making sure each panelist was respected and given time to voice their views without dominating the discussion. We've tried very hard to make sure our panels consist of men and women from different backgrounds and different political persuasions, that you hear different sides of each issue. And while we've sometimes not covered each topic in as much depth as either you or we would have liked, we're limited by only 30 minutes, and believe we've given you enough information to form your own opinions and perhaps enough interest to do more research on the topics. I believe NC-SPIN has remained on the air so long because of the men and women who serve as our panelists each week and have been willing to share their views with you. I'm proud to have worked alongside them to help better inform people in our state and will forever have great appreciation and gratitude to them, especially Chris Fitzsimon and John Hood, who've been the anchor panelists for most of these 1,000 shows. I'm also deeply grateful to the organizations that have supported us financially. While there are many, I especially want to thank Larry Wooten of the NC Farm Bureau, Nell Hotchkiss and the NC Electric Membership Cooperatives, Greg Griggs and the North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians, along with Mitch Leonard and the State Employees Association, and Richard Rogers of the North Carolina Retired Governmental Employees. We're also deeply grateful to Jim Goodman and Capital Broadcasting, who believed what we were doing was important and have both produced and aired NC-SPIN since our first show September 8, 1998. You see me and the panelists each week, but the real backbone of NC-SPIN are the men and women behind the scenes who make the show look good. There are too many to mention them all, but I have to call out our retired director, Clarence Williams, and current director, Dave Henderson. Tim King, Al Robinson, and Allison King have been part of our crew since the first show and have become lifelong friends. Mostly we appreciate you, the more than 125,000 of you across our state who welcome us into your homes and watch us. We love it when you come up to us and tell us when you think we've done things well and when you believe we haven't, who you agree with and who you don't, as well as what we can do better. So while this is a time of celebration, it's also a time of some sadness. This is the last show we will air on the station you're watching, but NC-SPIN is not finished. We're going to take a short 3-week break and we'll be returning to the air beginning Friday, January 19th on our state's public TV network. Not only will more people be able to see us, but we'll be airing at better air times. Starting January 19th, we'll air on UNC-TV on Friday nights at 7:30, and also Sunday afternoons at 12:30. We'll also be airing on the North Carolina channel. Let me assure you, we pledge to bring you the same balanced debate from the same seasoned analyst when we move, and all of us hope you'll make that move with us to Friday nights and Sunday afternoons. So we close out this 1,000th show and this chapter of NC-SPIN, hoping to see you when we move to our new home at UNC-TV, and as we always do, we urge you to stay informed and watch out for the spin.
Closing comments, Becky Gray.
Tom, congratulations. 1,000 shows, such a great legacy. Look forward to 1,000 more at our new home and public TV.
Don't know whether we have 1,000 or not.
Where's that napkin? That would be the question I would have.
Long gone.
I would just say that the show's been, I think, an amazing asset. I've been thrilled to be part of it and look forward to another many, many shows.
John?
I thought I was promised that I could finally call people names on this final show, but apparently not. But thank you, Tom, for your leadership.
Tom, my father worked for your father. I worked for you in 1984, and it's been a true honor to work with you since 1998 on this show.
Well, thank you. See, I recorded that so I wouldn't break down. Now I am. Thank you all for watching.
Join us next week and get the spin on issues facing our state. For more information or to learn how to contact us, visit our website, ncspin.com. NC-SPIN is a copyrighted production of Carolina Broadcasting System, Incorporated.